May your heart be blessed as I sing. Press on. The valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body's weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we are battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we have given our all, in Jesus' name, we'll press on. In Jesus' name, we'll press on. Clear before our eyes, we'll find the strength to press on. To press on. In Jesus' name, we'll press on. In Jesus' name, we'll press on.
Amen. What the church saying?
Amen.
Amen. I just thank you, Sister Stephanie, for that beautiful rendition. In Jesus' name, we press on. And we're going to press on tonight. In the Jesus' name, I just stand here to introduce to us our speaker for the night. He is no other than Pastor Kenroy Malcolm. He hails from the hills of St. Mary. And he went to his college training in the theology at the Northern Caribbean University, then known as West Indies College. And he then migrated to the United States, where he pursued his master's degree at Andrews University. And in the process of that, he got a call to Southern New England Conference after he would have done his MDiv at Andrews, and so he served at the various churches in this conference. He served at the Boston Temple in Massachusetts, and also he served at Pleasant Street. All of this is Massachusetts, Lincoln, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island rather, and is he also served at the Village Church. Also, that was his most recent assignment as a church pastor. And then at the most recent constituency meeting, he was asked to serve as the ministerial director of our conference. He is my boss. I report to him. This is not his first venture here speaking to Brooklawn and North Stanford. He was our keynote speaker at our recharge at North Stanford just the beginning of this year. And so I saw it fit to ask him to be our speaker for our revival here at Brooklawn. He has two lovely daughters. One is Jessica, and the other is Kenesha. Am I right? Jessica and Kenesha. Kenesha is the one who is a doctor, a medical doctor, just finished her training. And Jessica is also what is called a business major, personnel, pursuing business administration. And so with all that has been said, brethren, I think Pastor Malcolm is qualified in the hands of the Lord to be made him qualified for this task, to spread the good news of salvation, even so more to be at 250 Brooklawn Avenue this tonight to give us the word, to give us the word from the Lord, clothed in his right mind. And as we sing the theme song, Sister Stephanie, we'll ask Pastor Malcolm to come right in at the first verse, not all of it, but just the first verse. He'll come and he'll pray and give us all the message for tonight.
Can we put up the theme song and play the music for us again, please? And thank you. Patience is a virtue, so waiting on the music. God will make a way if there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Pull me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. We praise God. God will make a way. Anybody here know that God makes a way? I didn't tell my testimony, but I left Jamaica with my wife and daughter, saying I'm going to Andrews University to study. All I had was $1,500. And I said, I'm going there. And so I went there and studied for 5 years and graduated with 2 master's degrees and didn't owe them a penny. But I'm still paying the government. But God made a way. That's all I'm trying to say. That, you know, you take a leap of faith. I hear somebody said taking a leap of faith. You take a leap of faith and you trust God, and God will make a way. Praise God. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your church, this community where we can show our love for each other and our love for you. Thank you for this revival series. We pray, God, that you will revive our souls, reignite the passion. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to say thanks to your pastor, my friend, Pastor Hewlett. You know that he has been to my house. Not many pastors have been and slept in my house, but Pastor Hewlett has been there and slept there and eat my food. And so we have been friends. He's one of my favorite pastors. You know, and we praise God for that. But I want to say that it's just wonderful to pray together as a church, because revival occurs when there is the word and prayer. Yes. Revival is through the word and prayer. And that's what I am happy that you're emphasizing. And I thank Pastor Hewlett for inviting me. You know, I went to college like 40 years ago. And so what I remember, little thing I remember, is Dr. Dowse in our speech and communication class. He said, if somebody is stupid enough to invite you to speak, be stupid enough to accept. And then he said the 3 layman steps of public speaking is stand up so they can see you, speak up so they can hear you, and shut up so they can love you. And that's what I plan to do tonight. But it's just wonderful to be here. And so I'd just like to direct your attention to this passage found in Luke chapter 8. As we contemplate the word of God, Luke chapter 8, and my focus will be on verses 26 and through 39. And so I want to read the last few verses, because the Bible says after Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, that those who were attending to the pigs, they fled and told it, verse 34, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what had happened and came to see Jesus. And they found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. And they asked Jesus to leave, because they were seized with great fear. Friends, I just want to share with you how Jesus will put the entire church in a storm to get to one deranged person. How God will put the church through a storm to get to one soul who needs healing. And we see just the passage preceding that the storm was on the ocean. On the Sea of Galilee, they crossed in a storm. This was the early church, Jesus and his disciples, in a storm, going across to the Gadarenes, where there was a man that was demon-possessed. And so the Bible said they got there. And here was a man that was possessed. Whether today we think it's mental illness, for those people in the Bible time, it was real demon possession. I don't know about you, but you know where I come from in the bushes of St. Mary, nobody died a natural death. It was a belief in the community that if somebody gets sick or dying, somebody is missing with them. I don't know, maybe we are modern Americans. But that's where I came from. It was real. And my dad would say, listen, if you are serving God, you don't need to believe in that stuff because God will protect us. Amen. And so as my brother shared how praying for his family, that's very important. And you know, I had to forgive my daddy because my daddy used to wake us up at 4:30 in the morning for prayer and worship. I thought that was abuse. And I said, the day I left home, I didn't want to see God nor church again. But you know, at 4:30, at 5 o'clock, my daddy would be gone into the hills to milk the cows. And so by the time he get back home, 8 of us would be gone to school. And so he, as the priest of his household, wanted to pray with his children. And so he would gather us at 4:30 in the morning, have mercy, and pray with us. I thank God that it worked. It worked because here I am, the last of 8. But here it was real. And so this man could not live. He was possessed, living, could not live in the house, could not. They locked him up. He would break the chains, the Bible says. He was so strong that he had to live by himself among the tombs, living in a graveyard. Now, you know, he must be out of his mind to live in a graveyard. But the truth is, the graveyard is the safest place to be. Hallelujah. Yes, safe place to be in a graveyard. And so this man was living among the tombs. And the Bible says that here comes Jesus. And Jesus came, and as soon as he saw Jesus, he ran down, the Bible says, to meet Jesus. And he said, Jesus, what do you have to do with me? You know, everybody's scared of him, but Jesus faced him calm and unafraid. And Jesus asked the man, what is your name? See, that's very personal. Yeah. When somebody asks you your name, and I believe that everybody's name, there's the most beautiful words in any language that you speak. Your name. And that's why when someone tells me their name, I try to repeat it because I want to remember. Because a name, your name, is important. Not to mention the family name. But the man said, my name is Legion. He could not even remember who he was. Because a legion was a regiment of 6,000 soldiers in the Roman army. And this man said, my name is Legion. He has 6,000 voices in his head, driving him crazy. And sisters and brothers, friends, I want to tell you that mental illness still show up in church. And we ought to realize that when people who are mentally ill, they're sick people. They're sick individuals that show up. And we need to learn how to protect them. Keep their privacy, because in the United States of America, if you have mental illness in your family or anyone else, and you put that on your military form, they don't want you in the military. They don't. I serve as a chaplain. I know. You can't serve in the military. But friends, I want to tell you that I was shaking hand at one of my church when I was pastoring, and I'm there, and after everybody went, here come a young lady. And she said, Pastor, I can hear voices in my head. I said to her, can you talk back to them? And she said, yes, I can. I said, come with me. And so quickly, I took her to my office. I closed the door. I said, I'm going to take you home. We had potluck at church, so I got her lunch. And I drove her home. When I got there, her mother and her brother, they were so delighted that she reached out to me for help. Because she didn't trust them. And that's part of mental illness. Some of the people that are closest and dearest to you, you will not trust. And so, thank God, we were able to get her help. We had a psychiatrist who was a member of the church, and we made the appointment and got her stable. It is among us. We learn to protect our folks when they show up and point them in the right direction. There is help. And so Jesus saw this man. He needed help. And the Bible says that after he said his name was Legion, the spirits asked Jesus to send them into the pit instead of cast them into the bottomless pit of hell. That's the choice. And so they asked Jesus. And the truth is, friends, Jesus knew. You see, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. From the beginning, I like what Mrs. White says, in him was life, original, unborrowed, underived. Jesus is God. And so Jesus, who knows everything, spoke to this man, and Jesus knew that if he did not demonstrate that the demons had left this man would never believe. And so Jesus granted the wishes of the demons that spoke through him. And the Bible says, the pigs were so scared, they ran off into the lake and died. Now, you know, they asked Jesus to leave because Jesus disturbed the economy. You see, the challenge is that these were some Jewish brothers and sisters over there. They don't eat pigs, but they're raising pigs. And Jesus turned the economy upside down. Jesus changed everything. The truth is, when Jesus comes into our life, Jesus changes things. And the truth is, when Jesus comes, friends, we can't be the same. If Jesus comes in my life, I cannot continue to be abusive to others. If Jesus is in my life, I cannot take advantage of other people. If Jesus is in my life, I gotta care for others. And so the two groups we see here is that those over there in Gadara, they asked Jesus to leave because you're disturbing my life. But thank God that there was another. And the Bible says, this man who was clothed and in his right mind, when Jesus decided to leave, he asked, can I go with you? And the Bible says, as I close, the Bible says, Jesus says, go home and tell what the Lord has done for you. Isn't that testimony? Sisters and brothers, I will tell you, if you have not written out your testimony, start writing it out. Just write out your testimony, what your life was like before you met the Lord, and what your life has been since you met the Lord. Write it out. And I can promise you that once you finish your testimony, God is going to give you opportunities upon opportunity to share that testimony. It's your testimony. It's what God has done for you. And let me tell you, it is the power of the gospel, because it is indisputable, because it's what God has done for you. That's your testimony. And friends, this can be encouraging. This can save a life. I remember one time I was so discouraged in my faith. And there was a brother. When I spoke to him, he pulled me aside and he said, let me tell you what God has done for me. And this brother was a Rastafarian. I didn't know that. But he's now a conference president. And he pulled me aside and he told me, when he was smoking weed and doing all of that stuff, and he said, God came into my life, cut off the locks, changed my life, gave me a wife in the church and children, and gave me a ministry. That's his testimony. And sisters and brothers, I thank God that Jesus says, go and share your testimony. And I don't care if you're the only one in that school, you're the only one in that employment, place of employment, you're the only one in your family who is a Christian, God has placed you there to share your testimony. Keep sharing what God has done for you. And it makes sense because that's where the rubber meets the road. We're talking about prayer. You know, I have learned over the years of ministry, as I said, I've pastored in Massachusetts, Texas and Connecticut, and Rhode Island, but I'm never in Connecticut, but thank God for the opportunity to serve in Connecticut. But you know, driving on the highway, somebody said they talked to God while driving. And so I pray when I'm driving too. And I was driving and praying, and this sister came up on my radar screen, right in my mind. And that's why I'm saying sometimes you have to test and know if the Holy Spirit is talking to you. So the sister came up on my mind. I prayed for her. And then I'm driving, and I, hands-free, I called her. And I said, sis, I'm driving, but the Lord placed you on my mind. I was praying for you, and is there anything else that you would like me to pray for? Any one thing? She said, Pastor, I don't want to bother you. I said, the Lord impressed me to call you. You're not a bother to me. Well, she said, Pastor, my son, you know, he was a physical therapy major at Andrews University. This lady come from another country. But she said, my son's visa expired. And I need someone with $10,000 in their account just to say, I will stand as a sponsor for this young man so he can get his visa to continue school. And she said, Pastor, I don't know anybody with $10,000 in a bank account that could write a letter like that. But she said, I have been fasting and praying for 2 days now. And I said, I know somebody. And I called up the brother and said, somebody need help. And he said, Pastor, just get the information, the fax number. By the end of the day, the letter reached Andrews University. The young man got his visa. He's graduated and married and have kids now. But I could have been disobedient to the vision that the Holy Spirit placed on me. But that's why I'm saying test the Spirit. Test the Spirit and see if it is of God. We got to close. But I have one more to tell you. I usually drive to New York for every Thanksgiving. That's my favorite holiday in America. Because everybody's so nice from Thanksgiving to Christmas. It's the best time to be in America. Everybody is nice. People don't cut you off on the road. They let you in. But I'm driving. I lived in Atlanta at the time. We're driving back to Atlanta, my wife and the babies. And when we got somewhere in North Carolina, pitch black, I saw a red car on the side of the road, and maybe 6 miles down, in the light, I saw like two people walking. And in my mind, I'm saying, well, they probably were in that abandoned car on the road, and they're walking to the next exit. And this is like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I felt the strong, strong feeling to go get them. I said, God, but I got my family here. This is 1 o'clock in the morning. I woke up my wife. I said, dear, I passed two people up there and I feel impressed to go back and get them. My wife said, go get them. And so we went to the next exit and came back up the expressway, crossover. I came back and I stopped and I just cracked the glass a little bit, scared. I'm talking about this in the spirit. I'm scared. But I'm there and I cracked. And yes, they were from that car that I passed up the road, and they were going to Atlanta. That was like 3-4 hours away. And you know something? They lived like 5 minutes around the corner from where I live. And so when the lady came in the car, she said she was singing the song, Angels Watching Over Me. I'm just trying to say that God is still alive. God still answers prayer. It happened to me. Test the spirit. And friends, I can tell you that I was baptized when I was 9 years old. And God has been good to me. Good to me. And if you trust God and God fail you, you come and tell me, I will never call his name again. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you still answer prayer. God, I just pray tonight for everyone hearing my voice, hearing your word, that they will be encouraged, they will be challenged to reach out in faith to you. And God, I know without the shadow of a doubt that you are able to keep us from falling. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above we can ask or think. Yes, you are God all by yourself. Reveal yourself to us this week. As we study your word and pray together, we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let everybody say, amen. God bless you.